You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Thank you. All right, welcome. Another edition of It's Still Real to Me. And, of course, everything Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by our title sponsor, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-3. 800-747-3733. If you've been involved in any kind of an accident, hit and run, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, I send you to where you're going to be treated like family, and that's Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. 800-747-3, 800-747-3733. Of course, our pal is Joey Levitt. Joey, now last night, so today, we're coming at you on a Monday for a couple reasons. Joey technically did do a show last night on Sundays, which we normally do. Joey did a reaction show, a solo reaction show, immediate reaction show to AEW Revolution. And tonight, so I'll give you my thoughts. We'll do a little bit of that on Sting. We'll talk about the bloodline from this past Friday night. Maybe we'll preview a little bit of what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw tonight. We got big WWE Hall of Fame news that came out earlier today. And of course, Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. Also find wrestling odds with up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends. You can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So, Joey, how did it go last night? You did a solo reaction show to AEW Revolution. How was that?
I will tell you what. Normally, being up late doing reaction type stuff is...
It ended at like, what, about...
midnight.
About 11th? Oh, midnight? Yeah,
12. Yeah, probably right around midnight. I think I went live right
around midnight. No, it was 12. Midnight. Yeah, no, I don't remember. I remember it was 12 because it was such a weird finish, which we'll get to. And then I looked at the clock and it was exactly 12 o'clock when it went off the air.
Yeah. It was good. Look, it's the first time we've done anything like that. Shout out to the people who were on there. By the way, I mean, first, right off the bat, we got to say shout out Gio, who says welcome back, Zaz, after the two straight Joey solo shows. For the people who don't, you know, if you're listening on the podcast, the solo shows are YouTube exclusives. So if you want the exclusive stuff, you got to hit that subscribe button. But Gio was there.
Yeah. Like those, by the way, like last night, Joey's AEW Revolution reaction show, like you said, those are exclusives. Those are not being posted to the podcast. So you want to make sure that you are tuning in when Joey does those live. And last night, it's hard for me that late at night to do the reaction show. And on top of it, yesterday morning,
I did ESPN at 7 a.m. It was a long day for me. Like, I was in no condition. I was fighting to stay awake through the main event last night. But it's a good point that Joey says, make sure you always have your notifications on. Because like last night, and Joey's done a couple of bonus, you know, shows. Those are exclusive to YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're trying to look, we want to bring you guys as much wrestling content as possible. So sometimes it's me. Maybe sometimes Zaz will jump on and do something. We want to do more reaction, breaking news when it happens. We did one Friday for The Rock's 20-minute promo that he cut. Yeah. And you know what? Look, it actually worked out really well that we did that video, because by SmackDown, that video was old. And we're going to talk about that now. Like, by the time he talked on SmackDown, his 21-minute promo, which was awesome, became old news, right? So,
yeah.
But it worked out really well. But again, shout out Gio. Gio was there the whole time at midnight, commenting, interacting. We probably had a good, at certain points, 10 people, you know, watching. That's all for me doing it the first time at that time of night. I thought that was pretty good. So shout out to all those people.
Yeah. And we love when you guys, if you're listening to this right now on the podcast, that's awesome. That means you're listening in the future. Okay, great. If you're watching live, we love that too, because then you get to participate in the show. If you want, you can comment, you can ask questions. We can bring you part of the show, which is obviously great. So we love pro wrestling. We'll do a little bit of reaction from last night, and we'll start looking forward to all the things to come this week. All right, so really glad to have you aboard, and make sure that you rate, you like, you comment. Tell all your friends. Tell your mother I said hello. Make sure you got the notifications turned on so that you never miss anything. So last night I got home. I was working, but I also had a long soccer weekend with my son. So I get home last night and I order the show, which, you know, AEW can't, they can't figure out how to put on a pay-per-view without there being technical issues. I mean, now I didn't have any on my end, but I know early in the show, it was a major issue. Matter of fact, I didn't watch the first hour and a half, I think, of the show, because I wasn't home. Right when I got home from soccer, I then ordered the show, and I was able to watch the last half of the show live. But from what I understand, there were a lot of technical issues. Did you experience some of that last night?
I didn't, but generally speaking, I order the pay-per-view, and then my brother uses my Bleacher, and he watches it, and he couldn't get on. And I know they don't have like a limit to it, because it's always been the same thing. He usually uses my account, and he texted me as the show is starting. He kept saying, did you order it? Did you order it? And I did. And he couldn't get on. So I don't know.
But it's really frustrating.
I obviously we'll talk about it. The biggest technical issue was the end of the
Yeah. So I want to ask you about that before we talk about the actual match, you know. Fuck it. Let's talk about the match, and then I want to get your opinion on how the night ended, because I don't really know what happened there. So I thought the match was fun. It was pretty much what you expected it to be. I don't necessarily, you guys know where I stand with the glass plates and all of that stuff. It's not my thing, you know, but that's, you know, that's pro wrestling. There's this kind of wrestling and this kind of wrestling and this kind of wrestling, and there's pro wrestling for everybody. That's not normally for me, all right? But I think we had to expect that's what it was going to be, right? Considering what Sting has been doing for the last few years, that was Darby obviously...
And Darby did an interview this week where he said, I'm going to do something insane for Sting's final match. Like, he said it in the middle of the week. I was concerned all week. I mean,
he was bleeding so bad.
That was
like
crazy,
so fast. He was bleeding so bad when he went through that plate of glass. It, you know, at first they show him, it's like you could see the little nicks and cuts. And then the next time they showed him a couple minutes later, I mean, he was like gushing blood everywhere. And they clearly patched him up because he was off camera forever while Sting was, you know, like double teaming with the Young Bucks there. And look, let's be honest, you know, the match was the Young Bucks were props, essentially. They were props for Darby Allin and Sting to do crazy stuff to, because it was not by any stretch, you know, what you normally see out of the Young Bucks. You got some super kicks, but that was it. You didn't see any other high-flying stuff, really, from the Bucks. They were just props for Darby and Sting. You got Ric Flair. You got Ricky Steamboat, which was a nice treat. Always like seeing Ricky Steamboat. We didn't get the Flair turn or anything like that. Were you surprised? Like, it was really just minimal involvement from Ric Flair.
Well, given the way it ended, I guess a little bit, but the way things were going on TV, I mean, it felt like they were leaning so hard into teasing that he was going to turn that I started to think, okay, now he's not going to turn, because they're making you feel so much like the obvious thing is that he's going to turn on Sting. So then I was like, no, but there was the entire time Flair was laying on top of Sting. I was thinking, all right, here it comes.
Like,
here comes the moment where he gets out of the way and they kill something. But
I thought so too. Yeah. I don't know. What did you make of the entrance and the intro? The intro was excellent.
Incredible.
You know, watching in the theater, like it was theater. That's literally what they were showing you. His career has been theater, and he's watching his greatest moments in a movie theater. And I thought that intro was fantastic. Did you like it?
Last night I ended up talking about the main event for like, I probably went 40 minutes last night. I talked about the main event for 15 minutes of it, like the first 15 minutes. And at the end, I was like shocked that I went that long, because I genuinely was not really looking forward to this match. Like, in general, I've said this, I don't like 65-year-olds being full-time wrestlers. Sting has come and gone many times, and it just didn't. Overall, it was just like, okay, he's having his final match, but like, whatever. They couldn't have flipped me more with the way they executed that final match to me. Like, it, and the entrance was what I talked about a lot. Like, the theater part, the highlights, which do you think, like, I got to think that WWE owns a lot of his highlights, so that's why most of it was AEW highlights. Like, there was some old Sting, but there was no NWO Sting, there was no WWE Sting. It was like some old, must have been like Crockett Sting, and then it was mostly AEW highlights. Like,
good point.
The only thing I was thinking was like, it would be real cool to see like Sting coming down from the rafters, like those type of highlights. And then the thing with his kids was fucking awesome. I was like a little shaken up watching that part. I was like a little emotional. Like, there's no cooler thing. I don't have kids, but I got to imagine as a father, there's no cooler moment ever in his life than that moment last night.
I was really confused when his first son came out.
Because he looked just like him.
Yeah, as Surfer Sting. He looked just like him. And then and while it was still like a wider shot, I'm like, how'd he get his hair like that? And then they go closer. I'm like, oh, that's definitely not Sting. Okay. Like, I thought it was him. And then his other son comes out. And it makes sense because his tights did not say NWO on it. So that has to be copyright for WWE, which is why they didn't show any of those highlights. They could probably write. And then Sting comes out. So, yeah, that was very cool that he was able to come down there with his two kids who did participate in a little bit of the match. At the start, it's like, oh, all right. I mean, I get it that it's a tornado match. So we're just doing 4-on-2. It's a tornado match, but it's 4-on-2.
And the skinnier son, his splashes were crazy. I mean, he was getting some air on those things. Like, I thought he was going to hurt someone.
Yeah, yeah. So it was cool. It was your typical fare. I think, though, the surprise would be that Sting was definitely losing. I thought he was losing because, number one, you know, that's the old school way. It's the way it always goes down. And Sting's an old school guy who was wrestling back in the 80s. I would have thought he would have left with his, you know, back on the mat, staring up at the lights. And also, what are they going to do with the tag titles now? I mean, I guess they'll do whatever they want to do.
I read a report today that they're going to do a tournament.
Okay. And then also, Sting has never lost an AEW. So I thought that it would have been like a legit thing to, all right, his first and only loss, his last match. Like, that seemed to make sense to me. So I was surprised when he won.
Oh, shocked. It didn't make sense. Like, in the end also, and you might have said it, but like, he is of the era where you go out on your back. Like, that's what it's always been. And everyone always says, like, you put over the younger generation and all that. I said it last night, like, the Bucks are not young by any means, but Sting handpicked the Bucks for this match. He talked about it in the presser, in the scrum, that he handpicked the Young Bucks for this match.
And isn't that just great heat for this version of the Bucks going forward, that they retired Sting?
Right. You know? Yeah. And I was also thinking about this. I was thinking about this today, not last night, but I was thinking about it when I was sort of rehashing the match. It's kind of like Sting can still go a little bit. Like he's obviously he's old, but it's like I think Sting like he could have a singles match. Mm-hmm. You'd have to have somebody who could carry him. Isn't that kind of like a knock on Darby that like wouldn't the perfect retirement for Sting be to lose to Darby? Like that's his protege, like put Darby over, but like you can't put Darby in a singles match with Sting because he'll kill him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Darby loves him too much, so he doesn't want to fight his idol. And right, and yeah, like, I think gimmick. It's quite like possible that he would kill him. Yeah,
yeah, but you do a storyline, and they, you know, it's wrestling, so you could.
I mean, you saw Darby at the end where he grabbed the mic from Sting. Goes, I said I was going to kill myself in the ring, but I'm still alive.
Yeah. Nah, but everyone, I don't want to keep harping on the Darby thing. Everyone knows how I feel about Darby. I would tell you this right now. Darby will fall into a level of obscurity without Sting over the next few months. He is just going to be a mid-carder, and that's fine. That's not
enough. Maybe he should go away for a couple months so that when he comes back, people are really happy.
You would think he would, but he's fighting Jay White at Big Business. So,
oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Which, that's a whole other thing. But anyways. So I thought it was strange that the Bucks didn't win.
They wanted to end the night on a really high note. So, all right.
And then, by the way, can I say this? The other thing I didn't mention that I thought was interesting, and I'm probably doing the overanalyzing internet thing. Is it weird to you that they never referred to this at all as a retirement? It was always just his final match. It was never Sting's retirement match, Sting's retiring. Everything has just always been, from the beginning of this, Sting's final match.
It's an interesting point, but I think usually a retirement match is when those are the stakes, right? Where it's if you lose, you retire, right? Isn't that normally like the way it goes?
Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah, that's fair. But I do feel like when these guys go back and they do like these matches on the indies, like these old washed up guys are like, I got to get my retirement match or whatever, my one last match.
Well, I mean, you got Goldberg still yelling about it every other week now, you know?
Right. So I thought that was weird. So I just wasn't sure, like, is there some part of him that's leaving the door open for another match? Like, is there some part of him? It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, his AEW run was pretty great. So I don't think that. I think it's done. I mean, he was there for 4 years. He went undefeated. Everyone loved him and Darby the whole time. And he did crazy shit that nobody would have expected. So I think it's a pretty good run.
I was totally, totally happy with the way it went last night. I thought the match was fine. I thought the intro was great. And I love Sting. Sting was a big part of my teenage years as a wrestling fan. My formative wrestling years. I mentioned it last night on the show. My bar mitzvah theme was wrestling. We had an NWO Wolfpack Sting impersonator at my bar mitzvah. that is my Sting fandom.
Do you have a picture of you and the Sting impersonator?
He was not a very good impersonator. He was just some guy in paint. So no, I don't think I do. But that being said, I'm happy Sting's done. I just don't like full-time 65-year-old wrestlers. It makes me uncomfortable.
So for me, you know, I was a WWF kid growing up, and the only way that I knew the NWA guys and then the WCW guys was because every month, you know, at the 7-Eleven, I would make my parents. First of all, I subscribed as a kid to WWF, the magazine. So every month when that was coming in the mail was the best day of the month. But every month when the new episode of Pro Wrestling Illustrated would come out, you know, the 7-Eleven or whatever, I'd have my parents buy it for me because I used to love seeing the rankings. And in the rankings were always, you know, it was a mix. There was a WWF, you know, and then there was also one where I would mix the WWF with NWA guys. So that's where I would read about and learn about Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair and Lex Luger. So when those guys would come to WWF eventually, I knew who they were. I'd never really seen much of them, but I always knew who they were because of Pro Wrestling Illustrated's rankings. Sting, I never got to see as a kid in the late 80s and then in the early 90s. He never made that jump to WWF, but I always knew who he was. It's like, oh, that's the cool guy who wears the makeup and he's got, you know, the flat top bleach blonde hair. So I always knew who he was, you know? but I never got to actually see him, you know, on a full-time basis until, you know,
the warrior, as one of the Dingo Warriors.
Right, right. Until the Monday Night Wars, where then I had to start watching WCW, you know, around like 97-ish. And at that point, I got to see Sting every week. But that was, you know, Crow Sting. It wasn't Surfer Sting anymore. But I thought last night was, I thought it was really cool. And I want to ask you now about the ending, unless you have anything else to add here.
Well, I want to say, so it's I have been thinking about this too. Like, because Victor and Gio are going back and forth in the chat. Shout out to them, obviously. Those are, you know, top guys in the chat. About, it's wrestling. They never retire. If WWE comes calling with the bag and wants to do a real retirement match. And the reason, so I think everyone's first instinct on that is no way. But post Vince McMahon WWE is a different world. Like the last time we saw Sting, he lost to Triple H, right? Wasn't that
after that he still then had the feud with Seth Rollins, which that totally ended his run because he broke his neck, remember? And that that was when we thought his career was done. And that right there is why he will never be in a WWE ring, because they're so careful about that stuff. Like, they have no interest.
They don't want
in
him to die.
In clearing a 65-year-old. Remember how long it took for them to clear Daniel Bryan? You know, they're not clearing a 65-year-old Sting who they once diagnosed with a broken neck and wouldn't let him wrestle anymore.
By the way, did you see... I'm sorry.
And that shit was almost 10 years ago, by the way.
Yeah. Before we talk about the very end of it, I'm going to get off track for a second, but it still pertains to Sting. Did you see the report, or maybe it wasn't even a report, maybe Tony Khan said this, that AEW reached out and got permission from Owen Hart's family before allowing Sting to...
I saw that he reached out to Martha Hart to get her opinion.
I thought they said permission.
Well, I mean,
not
whatever.
That they, yeah. But do you buy that? Like, these are the kind of things with AEW that sometimes I think this got conveniently leaked to the public because they want to look
there's a little bit of grandstanding when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think Tony Khan likes the idea of I'm not like them. I'm going to make sure no one's offended. And we got the Owen Hart tournament, and I want to make sure that Mark is okay with
everything. I respect the Hart family. WWE doesn't respect the Hart family.
I think it's a little bit of grandstanding on Tony Khan's part.
We're on the same page there. Okay.
Yeah. So what happened at the end? All right. Because Sting's on the microphone, and he's rambling at this point. And then, you know, Sting, Darby, begins whispering things in his ear, which, you know, listen, you and me know. People watching and listening right now may also have caught on where it's like, all right, like he's giving him cues, you know, he's telling him what's happening right now. And Sting then just let the cat out of the bag. I got to wait a second here. I'm getting cues, meaning he didn't want to be cut off mid-sentence when they were going off the air at exactly midnight. Like, I looked at the clock when it went to black, it was exactly 12 o'clock. And I'm like, something was like, the fuck is that? Why do they have to go off at 12? What else is coming up on that Bleacher Report app? They couldn't figure out a way to make it of us could see what Sting is saying.
It's not just Bleacher. They're on traditional pay per view. They're on Triller outside the United States. So I think with traditional pay per view, you buy an allotted amount of time, and if you don't more time, you have to go off the air. My problem with the way that happened is not the fact that they didn't buy enough time. They had 4 fucking hours. My problem is you don't have to shoehorn 9 matches into Sting's retirement show. BCC versus FTR is a Dynamite match. We've already seen it twice. We don't need to see it on a pay-per-view. There was at least 2 others. The 8-man Meat Madness All-Star Grand Slam match. That match was horrendous. That match did not need to be on the pay-per-view. Like,
they always do that, at least at Revolution. They did that same match at the Revolution I went to 2 years ago.
But they don't have to.
Or no, you're right. 4 hours. Everyone bought that show. I bought that show. Even though I didn't put it on until an hour and a half in, it didn't matter to me because the only reason I was buying it was I need to make sure I see the final match. And then to not be able to hear from Sting when I paid $50, that fucking sucks.
Right. Put put the number one contender 8-man match on the pre-show, bump Bang Bang Bullet Club Gang, get they don't, I have major issues with the fact that Jay White's on a pre-show as it is. So I'd rather him not even on be on the show than be on the pre-show. I mean, what a waste that is.
So do we have any idea what Sting said? Was there anything interesting that came out of that?
I haven't watched it, but people have posted it, the full thing on Twitter. So it's out there. It's out there, but I have not.
That's a bad job by AEW. Like, we're going to cut off in the middle of Sting talking. It's the whole reason we're watching the show.
Yeah, and it's solely because it is 100%. There's too many matches. 9 matches is a lot of matches. And by the way, you know, I said last night, like, I can't wait till they go to the extended pay-per-view schedule. And then in the scrum, Will Ospreay reeled off. They already have like 8 pay-per-views. They're not all pay-per-views, but they have like a lot of shows now. They don't need to have 9 matches on every pay-per-view. They also have 9 titles. So you don't have enough time to have 6 title defenses and then a bunch of like one-off matches on a pay-per-view anymore. Split it up. So that's, I blame the booking. Not, look, again, they booked or they paid for way more than they paid for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They just put way still too couldn't much fit on.
It in. They put 4 hours, couldn't fit it in.
Well, maybe, I mean, maybe in the 8-man all-star slamboree, if you spent like 4 less minutes flexing for no reason, or having the crowd yell meat at these men while they run into each other, maybe we can properly let Sting have his retirement speech. But instead, no, we have to have Wardlow and Lance Archer having a flex off. Like what are we doing? And then we're going to go out and talk about how we're the best professional wrestling company on the planet, but we blew it with Sting's retirement speech so that Will Hobbs and Brian Cage could flex at each other and grunt and people could yell meat.
You're right. It's a terrible job.
That's
I would rather not hear from Sting at all and it goes to black at the end of the match than I got Sting on the microphone for a couple minutes and then I didn't get to hear the rest. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just say, like, tune into AEW's Twitter account right now and then just go stream it live on Twitter. Like, do something. Like, you got to be able to, you also have to have the right, and that is something we talked about last night. Like, somebody in the chat last night was like, AEW's got to get better writers. And I said, I don't even know if AEW has writers. I think it's
apparently
all just
they
Tony.
Do. No, I think they do. I think at least well, now, I think they do.
Either way, they need to have proper people in those positions that know how to pivot in that moment. Like, you got to see it coming. Like, hey, it's 11:59. We're off the air in 60 seconds. Get in the Excalibur's ear and say, go to AEW's YouTube channel. We'll be live with Sting's, you know, comments in 2 minutes. And then you can go live on your YouTube. We live in the digital era. That shouldn't happen.
Did you happen to catch my man, our trusted real estate broker, Signature Real Estate Finder, Matthew H. Mashler, sitting there on the floor? Yep.
I did not
see
him.
He and Neil, they flew up there to North Carolina to go see Sting's final match. Good opportunity for me to tell you about one of our sponsors here on It's Still Real to Me, your trusted real estate broker, Matthew H. Mashler, and Signature Real Estate Finder. Huge pro wrestling fan, BRCW, one of the co-founders and chairman of BRCW. He was there last night. Well, down here, though, if you're looking for your dream home in any part of beautiful South Florida, Matthew H. Mashler is your first call. He is your trusted real estate broker. You can call him right away. 561-208-3334 or go to realestatefinder.com. And if you have property that you're looking to sell, you want to make sure you get the best price and have the easiest process. Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. If you're in the business and you want to take your career to the next level, you can join the Signature team. The Signature Real Estate Companies are South Florida's industry leaders, ranked number one in all of Boca. And they have offices all throughout the state. Delray, Coral Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Naples, Palm Beach. The Signature team is where you want to be. So whether you're buying your dream home, you're selling your current property, or you're just looking to join the best in the business and maybe talk a little bit of pro wrestling, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. Matthew H. Mashler, your pathway to exceptional real estate experiences.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
So yeah, they flew up there and they went to the show. Very, very cool. If I could, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita match, great. Will Ospreay's unbelievable. I can't even understand how he pulls off some of the moves he does. It doesn't even make sense how fast he is out there and agile and the way he moves his body in one direction and the other. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it.
Yeah, I'm interested in your thought on this because this is what I said. I just hope. And the reason I brought up Jay White is because in a similar vein, I just hope that they don't do this thing that AEW does where it's like, we're going to force these dream matches down your throat where Will Ospreay's fighting every guy you've never heard of just because Will Ospreay's here now. Don't waste time. Get this guy in a main event level feud immediately. Don't waste time and have him on the pre-show like Jay White in the Bang Bang Scissor Gang doing nothing. Because, you know, right now they don't have a ton of stars in that company with MJF out and Adam Cole hurt and people leaving and Kenny. He is what Kenny should be, right? He could be that guy. He is Kenny. Don't waste time. He is the main event guy. Put him in the main event. He's so damn good. And hopefully, similarly to Kenny, his style doesn't lead to him not being able to wrestle for a long, you know, like, cause
it's
that's
pretty crazy. Some of the shit they're doing out there, man. It's like, and there was that one spot, I guess, where maybe, I don't know if they slipped, but it looked like he dropped Takeshita on his head from atop the turnbuckle.
No, Takeshita dropped Will Ospreay.
Okay.
And what Ospreay was pointing at his back. And I don't know if you saw his back.
Oh, he had
back.
A massive bruise on his back.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, it's just, you know, like, he's fighting Kyle Fletcher on Dynamite on Wednesday. And I understand.
Like he was in the ring at the end. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is.
Here's the thing. they were in the United Empire together in overseas. Like they were in a faction together forever. And Kyle Fletcher is part of the Don Callis family. Cool. Great. I get it. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, cool. They're in the ring together. But like, he's not old by any means. But when you fight the way he fights, giving him away for free on TV for a feud that's really not going to go anywhere, you know, you got to maximize what you're going to get with a guy like Will Ospreay, who has the potential to transcend like not many guys in AEW can. Like, he has that kind of star power, I think. But don't waste it, because they're doing that right now with Jay White to me. And I keep bringing up Jay White because I think he's that good. But same thing, like, Jay White was the IWGP champion a year ago. He debuted a year ago in April. And now he's in a trios title six-man thing doing nothing. This can't happen with Ospreay. They Just shoot him to the top.
He's amazing though, man. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it before. And he's can't miss TV whenever he's on.
And I will say this, it's unfortunate that the way things sort of work in the US with professional wrestling is that if you can't speak English, it's going to be hard to be a top level star, because Takeshita is that damn good too, by the way, as a, just in the ring.
What do you make of Takeshita doing the Tua fingers?
Did he? I didn't notice.
You didn't notice that?
But he did like the fencing thing like this.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice that? So there was at one point in the match when they were trading like heavy blows and Takeshita fell to the ground and he was lying there like this.
I don't think I noticed that.
Oh yeah. And the referee came to check on him because maybe the referee was a little bit fooled, you know, to make sure. But Takeshita was lying there with the two of fingers for, I'd say, a good 10 seconds. He was selling the shit out of it.
He's awesome.
I thought it was a little bit poor taste, because I don't like wondering if he's really hurt. You know, I didn't.
Yeah,
I
mean, I don't know. I get what you're saying, but that's just
to be really hurt, you know, and
neither do I, but that's.
And he sold the shit out of it, I guess.
That means he got you. That means he did his exact job. Is that you?
I can't believe
you
didn't notice that he was doing the fingers.
I was a little, I was like looking at Twitter and I was watching that. I do need to rewatch that match, even though it was incredible and I did pay attention. There were little things that I think little details that I probably need to hone in on a little more from that match.
You got anything else? Because I want to get to what happened on Friday night.
I mean, the title match was, listen,
it was great. It was great.
I will say, I truly believe this. Hangman and Swerve is a generational feud. Like, those guys could feud for the next 5-10 years, and I'm cool with it. This version of Hangman is like nothing. When he started beating up Bryce Remsburg, I freaked. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? This is crazy. Like,
yeah, because the referees suck, so they should all be, except Ref Aubrey. All the others should be beat up.
But like, they were making a big deal about him dragging the one ref outside the ring and hurting him. And then he just literally starts beating the shit out of the ref. I'm like, this is a crazy moment in this match. And do you buy what Excalibur was saying at the end, that potentially Hangman tapped, not because he needed to tap, but because he didn't want Swerve to win?
I love that story. Yes, I do believe that, because I think that's why he said it, is because that's the direction that they are going to go in now, which I would never have thought of, and it's a really cool direction to go in. Yeah.
It's an incredible feud, and there was people that I saw on Twitter that were disappointed that one or the other didn't win, but I will say it's going to be incredible when Swerve wins the title. Like, this is an added layer. This Hangman thing is just another added layer to when Swerve finally wins the title. Like, he's already become such a huge star that when he wins the title, it's going to be a great moment. First African-American champion in AEW.
Who wins title first, Cody Rhodes or Swerve?
Cody. Because Cody's going to win a Mania.
No, he's not.
I think he is. I don't know. Actually, I guess who knows. But now with you add in this Hangman thing where he would rather, like, Hangman doesn't even want to win the title anymore. He just does not want Swerve to win the title. And that's a cool story. And it's going to make it even better when Swerve finally wins.
So let's go back to Friday night with the Bloodline. Because it's almost like we're back in a place, you know, the Bloodline lost a little bit of steam. And I think we're back in a place now where every week it seems like they're throwing us little Easter eggs to wonder what they're doing and where it's going. And I think we're getting that again with this storyline. And the first one being how The Rock never comes out with the Bloodline. The Rock gets his own intro. And so Roman and the Bloodline come out. And Roman, first of all, Roman's aggravated from the get-go because apparently the crowd is not acknowledging him loud enough. Mm-hmm. So we're also getting back to a place where I think we're getting paranoid Roman Reigns, which, remember, we did like, I don't know, like 8-10 months ago, whatever it was. I think we're getting paranoid Roman Reigns again. He doesn't think that the crowd is acknowledging him loud enough. And then he's ready to leave, and Paul Heyman tells him, we can't leave yet. So now Roman, you could see, was... his back was turned to the entrance when The Rock was coming out. And Roman, the camera was on him. He was aggravated because, just like, at least I thought, he's going to start to get the impression that The Rock is stealing his spotlight. That The Rock, I'm the tribal chief, not you. I'm the one who's here, not you. And then at the end, you get the pivotal moment where, yeah, The Rock confirming these suspicions, where Roman forces, like he needs The Rock to acknowledge him before they move on any further. So I think we're back to paranoid Roman. I think we're back to a place where Roman doesn't believe
that
The
Rock acknowledged him.
Right. Yeah. Because
now,
you know what?
It was a hesitant acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. It was like, as my tribal chief. Like the way he said it, it was like it pained him to say it, but he said it.
But The Rock may be like, yeah, like you may be the tribal chief, but we all know I'm The Rock. You know, we all know I'm really in charge. You're the tribal chief, but I'm really in charge. And Paul Heyman, the whole time, especially when they're all sticking their fingers up, Paul Heyman was giving Rock a dirty look. Like, Heyman does not trust Rock. He was giving him dirty look the entire
time. Are you sure he wasn't
time.
Just giving him a dirty look because he puts the L up instead of the one?
I don't think so.
Look,
and I also
even
think there's
Victor,
nothing
even
to
Victor
that.
Wants to know, what does it mean? Everyone on the internet wants to know what it means.
I don't think there's anything to that. I don't think so.
Probably not. He might have like an injury that he can't do it.
That's what I lean toward, actually, is that he has trouble bending his thumb when he puts a finger up. That's where I lean.
Listen, there are deep corners of the internet trying to figure out why he doesn't fold the thumb in when he puts the one up. Like people want to know.
I think Roman is eventually going to turn on Rock. And that maybe it's SummerSlam. I don't know when he is. Maybe it's WrestleMania next year because Roman's still going to be champion. Where Roman is and the Bloodline are going to turn on Rock because Rock is stealing the spotlight, and that turns Rock back to a babyface whenever they do it.
Or, well, yes, probably. But I think the tag match. So now,
tonight we're going to find out. By the way, like tonight we're going to find out, and I'm surprised. Remember, I told you I was adamantly against that idea. We're clearly getting the tag match night one, and we're going to find out tonight, right?
Yeah. Well, are they going to announce? Is it tonight?
Cody's
going to
address the Cody's addressing the challenge. They
challenged
him on Friday
night. All I've seen for tonight is Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre and Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax.
Well, I mean, if Cody's on the show, they challenged him Friday night. Cody's not going to address it like that. This has to happen tonight.
Yeah, but I thought maybe he would meet them on SmackDown and answer it face to face. I don't know.
He just won't be on Raw tonight.
He might be on Raw. I'm sure he's going to be on Raw tonight.
Has to be.
But yeah, I guess we'll get that answer. But the stipulations of the tag match is what's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it now there's so many different directions we can go with who wins it. Because the stipulation is if Cody and Seth win, no Bloodline at ringside. Bloodline's barred. But if the Bloodline wins, then it's Bloodline rules. And the Bloodline can do whatever they want.
Don't you have to figure that it's going to be Bloodline rules?
Well, I guess it depends because there's so many angles. So yes, Bloodline rules is, I think, the prevailing thought that most people have, because I think what most people assume is Bloodline wins, Bloodline rules match, Rock turns on Roman in the match and helps Cody. I think that's what a lot of people think happens.
On night two,
The Rock helps Cody beat Roman.
I think there's no way that Cody finishes his story by getting help. No way. No way.
Okay. Now, the one thing that I considered, because I'll take it back to The Rock's promo on Twitter, the 21-minute promo that he put out. Something's happening with The Rock and Seth Rollins. Something is happening with The Rock and Seth Rollins. I don't know when. I don't know what it's going to be.
That walking clown emoji is a really good insult.
Yes. But also, the emphasis that he put on the fact that he's on the board, and if Seth Rollins keeps talking shit, The Rock will make sure that Seth Rollins loses the title. That he will not have that title. That's what he said in the promo. I will make sure that title goes away because I have that power. So what I could also see is Cody and Seth win night one. Bloodline's barred from the main event. And because of that, The Rock has to flex his muscle and Solo and Jimmy caused Seth to lose the title. And The Rock makes that happen. And then Cody finishes his story. And then there's dissension within the bloodline. And somehow either Roman turns on The Rock and they make Rock becomes babyface again, or Rock turns on Roman and now he's the bloodline. I don't know. Some version of that.
I have no idea what they're going to do with that tag match on Saturday night, because in what world on Saturday night, night one of WrestleMania, are Rock or Roman getting pinned? I mean, how is that real life? What world is that happening?
I don't know. It's
crazy, right? Yeah. It would be crazy. And it would also be crazy if Seth Rollins gets pinned to then also get pinned, because we know he's losing night two. Seth Rollins is going to get pinned two nights in a row, and Cody's certainly not going to get pinned night one, would he?
Well, he might. Yeah, why wouldn't you pin Cody?
I actually think
Cody's going to win night two, if Cody's going to win night two, wouldn't pinning him night one make it seem like he's even bigger underdog now in night two?
You might be right, because if I had to rank those four guys most likely to least likely to get pinned in that tag match, the most likely might be Cody Rhodes.
Or The Rock.
There's no fucking way.
Why not? The Rock is a part-time wrestler. There's no reason for him not to take the pin.
There's no way. There's no way.
I mean, but there's no reason other than he's The Rock. It doesn't benefit him to not take the pin. Does it?
See it. I can't see it, man.
I mean, if Cody and Seth are winning that match, it's The Rock taking the pin. It is not, and it doesn't have to be clean. I mean, Roman could cause The Rock to take the pin, and then that's how you set up the dissension there, or the other way around.
Rock gets pinned. It's not clean, and then as a result, Bloodline's banned. Roman loses, and then Roman blames Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Something along those lines, but. Actually, now thinking about it, Rock or Roman could get pinned night one. If they're, I think in that scenario,
there's
however
no way
one,
Roman does. Roman is the least likely of the four to get pinned. Least likely.
Doesn't, I mean, he's lost. He has lost in tag matches.
Which is why it can't happen again the night before night two.
Yeah, but I think.
But then again, I don't think he's losing night two.
Whoever's going to win night two is more likely to lose night one, right?
Okay, so Roman.
So Roman gets pinned. So Roman's getting pinned.
Because Roman's not losing night two. Man.
This is, but by the way, it is crazy to me that they're doing the tag match. It does open up so many possibilities. And we talk about this all the time.
I don't know what's going to happen, man.
We talk about it all the time, that what I love is when I have no clue what's going to happen.
Yep. I got no clue.
Genuinely, either night, other than Seth Rollins losing to Drew.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're all pretty much have a consensus. Seth Rollins losing to Drew.
And also,
I hope I'm wrong about the bloodline causing Drew to win, because I think Drew has done enough to earn winning that.
No, but Drew's whole story, remember, right now is a big hypocrite.
I know. I understand that. But like, and also if the bloodline causes Seth to lose and Seth doesn't look bad, whatever. But I still think Drew's done enough to just win at WrestleMania. He's that good right now. But, you know. I don't know. It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
The Rock is on SmackDown for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. So. Why does Rock keep saying, like, the show on the 15th in Memphis, The Rock is finally coming home? Like, what?
Because
why does he keep saying that?
That's where he started.
Memphis?
Like, that's not where he started. He lived in Memphis when Rocky Johnson, when his dad fought in Memphis.
Okay. There you go.
You obviously didn't watch Young Rock.
I did not.
Okay. Well, you would know. You'd know these things if you watched Young Rock.
All right. There you go. hey, so you got anything else on the bloodline from Friday?
I think I did, but now I'm blanking on it. So no.
Oh, by the way, Crackhead Karens is such a good insult. Oh,
and
my God.
And the part where he was like, Solo might sing the national anthem. And then the crowd started chanting for Solo, and Solo, they zoomed in on his face and he didn't know what to do.
Yep. By the way,
The Rock was on fire.
He was. I know you mentioned this to me while you were watching it live on Friday, and then I watched it later on Friday night. I can't wait for them to get off Fox. That was a disgrace. The first few minutes of that promo blacking out the feed because of, I guess, of a sign that said "Die Rocky Die."
Yeah, I was going to say, Victor asked earlier in the chat what was the sign. So apparently it was "Die Rocky
Die Rocky Die,"
which is insane. Insane. Not only for multiple, like, there's levels to the insanity. A, it's not even that bad. But B, the fact that the network that you're on doesn't even know the history of what's going on here. Die Rocky Die.
Forget about that.
Go story.
Go look at some of the shows that are broadcast on Fox. Are you kidding me? Look at some of the violence that's on Fox.
But forget about other shows. In that segment, The Rock said, if it's Bloodline rules, maybe I'll bash your head in with a chair. So The Rock threatened to murder Cody Rhodes. But that's not getting edited out.
That broadcast was a disgrace. That was
there was also a sign that said The Rock shops at Balco, which I thought was a funny sign.
can you explain to me what the hell is happening with Maxine Dupri right now? As far as I know, so there's been this outpouring of love and support, especially from the female wrestlers, for Maxine Dupri. And I saw a short clip where I guess she got booed out the building of a house show a few days ago. And wrestlers are coming to support her. And
she,
like, I mean,
apparently
she had upset about it.
Apparently she had a really bad match.
Yeah.
And the fans booed her like pretty viciously, but like, yeah, everyone's coming out being like wrestlers are coming out and supporting her. You know, the wrestling community on Twitter is coming out being, we got to be better as wrestling fans. Well, she's just trying. You're going after someone who's just trying to get better at her job. Blah blah blah. Get the fuck. Are we? What?
I can see it both ways.
I can't. Not even a little bit. Because you know what? First of all, Meltzer. It was either Meltzer or Alvarez. One of them made a great point. It is not the crowd's fault. You shouldn't be mad at the crowd. You should be mad at WWE. Don't put her in the match if she's not ready. The crowd has a right to boo if it's bad. Like, that is their right as a crowd.
Yeah.
And if she's not ready to be wrestling in those matches, don't put her out there. You're putting her in a bad position. That's one. Mm-hmm. Two, has anybody come to Gable Steveson's defense? Because we boo the shit out of him because he sucks.
He fucking sucks.
He's awful.
He sucks.
No one's coming out saying, oh, he's just trying to get better. It's because she's a hot, like, innocent looking woman. Look, people aren't going to love that, but that's just
because they also probably think that it made her really sad.
Okay. But maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But here was my biggest issue with it. And I know that Rhea is sort of a face now, but like, this is professional wrestling. There needs to be some level of like keeping the gimmick alive in this. And Rhea Ripley and Chelsea Green, the two biggest heels, female heels in the company, coming out and publicly supporting her on Twitter and being like, do better. You guys need to be better people. Like, that's stupid. That's just dumb to me. That is just Chelsea Green should be coming out and making fun of her. That's Chelsea Green's gimmick. Like, she shouldn't be like, oh, don't boo her. People get booed. This is the business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you consider, I mean, the shit that wrestlers used to have to go through back in the day. Oh my God.
I mean, guys are still going, people go through it. They're still going through it. We just referenced it. Die Rocky Die. The crowd literally, he had to change everything about himself. And that's what he did. But that's the difference, right? Is that when they were chanting Die Rocky Die, what did The Rock do? He became The Rock.
He decided to get better.
He became The Rock. It wasn't like, oh God, I feel bad. People support. And I don't even know if Maxine Dupri asked for people's support.
Right.
I don't know. Right. Like, she may not have even given a shit. And it probably all got blown way out of proportion. But just the thing that really frustrated me was like Rhea and Chelsea, who are the biggest heels in the company, supposedly coming out and being like, oh, we got to be better, fans.
I agree.
She's just trying to get better. Like, come on.
I agree. And I would also steal, you know, from Don Draper here, where that's what the money's for. That's what the money's for.
You know what? Send her to, she should just take it as motivation. If she's offended by it, then maybe this ain't the business, or maybe she just needs to be a manager again. Or like, you know, if she can't take it, then just move on. I mean, I know that's not like, it might not be PC to treat it that way anymore, but that's just what it is. It's wrestling has never been an easy business. Like, it's supposed to be tough.
So speaking of managers,
There we go.
Got some big
news. I did
that
for you. I set that up for you.
Thank you.
I did
that for you. Radio professional over here. We got some big news today. The first official inductee for this year's Hall of Fame class is Paul Heyman.
Amazing.
Which is going to become into turn into great fodder with the Bloodline over the next month leading to WrestleMania. So Paul Heyman, obvious Hall of Fame choice. The timing of it is what makes it interesting. So Paul Heyman is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. My first question is, who do you believe will induct him? Very important question.
It'll either... I think it'll be one of the ECW guys or Punk.
Really? I think it'd be Punk.
I mean, Punk is a huge, huge part of his legacy, no?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I mean,
we
if
agree,
it's not
it won't him, be Brock Lesnar, right?
Could it be? I don't know how, what his relationship is to WWE right now. Joey Styles?
I would think, is it possible that it will be Tommy Dreamer?
Yeah, that would be one of the guys, yeah. Although, I mean, I guess we'll get to this, but there's a version of this Hall of Fame in my mind where Tommy Dreamer's getting inducted.
Well, I can tell you right now that La Greca is pushing for it on Busted Open, is pushing for Tommy Dreamer to get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I wasn't going to induct him by himself. Oh, well, we'll get to it because we're going to talk about who we think might get inducted. But yeah, I mean, it could be Dreamer, it could be Bully Ray.
Could be Bully Ray. Yep.
Punk would make sense. I know those guys have the further back history, but recent history, Punk is, and obviously Punk's going to be heavily involved in WrestleMania stuff. So. Either one of them. I don't think anybody else makes sense. Joey Styles would be incredible. I just don't know what his relationship is to WWE at the moment.
It'll be interesting seeing Paul Heyman give that speech, you know, the night before WrestleMania when he's fully involved in the biggest storyline in the company and really is someone who protects kayfabe and is always in character. That's going to be a really interesting Hall of Fame acceptance.
I think he'll be as genuine and brutally honest as anybody. I don't think he'll be in character for this. I think this is going to be an incredible speech. Like, I think it's going to be really great. Now, I thought you meant it's interesting timing wise because of Brock Lesnar.
No, I don't care about that.
That is an important aspect of this. It is. I mean, Brock Lesnar's like a decade of Paul Heyman's career is Brock Lesnar. And
yeah, but they can't even mention him on TV. Top of his greatest accomplishment.
Why not? How so?
Well, his greatest accomplishment is what he's done for pro wrestling in ECW. That's his greatest accomplishment.
I guess so. But he also is now the greatest manager. He's going in as a manager. He's not going in
but
as the owner.
But it's not just Brock Lesnar. Like, it's not like this induction is coming off the heels of him being Brock Lesnar's guy. Like, it's coming off the heels of him still being involved with the Bloodline.
Right,
so.
but do you just... Okay, so we just don't talk about Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, can't do it. But which is kind of weird because it's not like Brock Lesnar's been convicted of anything. Matter of fact, he hasn't even been named of anything. You know, so it's kind of wild.
I know, I would bet you if you just said to Paul Heyman, like, list your greatest accomplishments ever... As a manager, high up on that list would be beating the Undertaker streak.
Yes.
There are things that how does he not talk about them in a Hall of Fame speech? But given the circumstances, I don't know that he can.
Who else are some guys that you would like to see going in this year with him?
I think because it's Philly, so this is what I was alluding to. I would potentially induct the ECW originals. As like a group,
cool.
Tommy Dreamer, the Dudleys, Sabu, Raven. Although I don't know
Taz.
If Raven really counts. I don't even know if Taz counts in this.
No.
But
Van Damme,
Stevie Richard, Sandman, like those guys, like induct them up there as a group. That'd be sweet.
That would be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool to do. It's Philly. That would be cool. I mean, the place I always go to every year is this the year Demolition finally gets in?
Like, I know that's one. When I texted you earlier,
bullshit.
When I texted you earlier and I said I already know one of yours, I knew it was Demolition.
I mean, it's such bullshit. It's Here's the bullshit of all bullshit. How are they not in?
I think a lot of people are saying now that Triple H is in charge, they'll get in. I don't know if it'll be this year.
All right. It's such bullshit.
I just think because, again, I always harp on the WrestleMania 40 thing. They're going to do some big thing. Something big has to happen this year.
Demolition was so big.
Come on. I don't mean big like that. I mean, like, here's who I think if things
DCW idea is a good idea.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I think if things had gone differently over the last month, The Rock would be headlining this class. But I don't think they can do it now because he's going to get booed.
Well, you know, we're still waiting for Batista. He has not been inducted yet, right?
He's not. And he is a good option to headline the class. But I'll give you another one. Mm-hmm. John Cena. Why not? It's WrestleMania 40. Why not John Cena? Headline the class.
Are we ready for that? Because that's kind of like a finality to his career. Are we ready for that?
Is it? Heyman's getting inducted.
Supposed to be.
Heyman's getting inducted. He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's supposed to be like a finale.
Cena's already a part-timer. He's not like he's a full-timer. So I mean,
they inducted Ray when he was still active and fighting that weekend.
And then the other one. And then another rumor that I've seen that I mean, I love them. I don't know that people would love seeing them in is the Nasty Boys. That'd be cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And then I think there's a prevailing thought from a lot of people that they'll put Bray in. Bray Wyatt.
All right. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say something negative. Wouldn't be nice.
He had a nice career.
Yeah. He had a nice career. Like, that's the way I'd put it. He had a nice career.
He did.
That's exactly how I would put it.
Yeah. The ECW. When I was thinking about that, I was like, man, the ECW originals thing would be sweet.
And that is a good idea.
Can you just imagine all those guys on stage? And the fact that they're all alive is pretty impressive, to be honest.
New Jack is not alive anymore, right?
But I don't think he's in. Let me look. He's not in one of the. I don't believe he's alive, but I also don't think he's one of the originals.
Okay.
Let's see. Wikipedia ECW originals. We have Balls Mahoney, Bubba Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, Rob Van Dam, Sabu, Rhino, Sandman, Stevie Richards, Tommy Dreamer.
Rhino. Yeah.
And all those guys are alive. That's pretty impressive.
Balls Mahoney, I don't think he's alive.
I'm not trying to kill
Balls Mahoney, but I don't think he's alive.
You did not kill Balls Mahoney. He's dead. He is dead.
Okay, good.
He's dead.
All right. It's not good that he's dead, but I'm glad
unfortunately died very young. Yes.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are all alive. Hey, 1 out of 15 in professional wrestling from ECW. That ain't bad.
Right.
I mean, sadly enough, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, we gotta get ready for tonight's episode. It's in 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, my brother texted me. He said Cody and Seth are opening the show tonight.
Yeah, they're good. They're going to accept the challenge. It's happening tonight, man. I can't believe that we're doing that. I can't believe it. It's going to be huge.
By the way, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm just going to say this. We were also going to do our top five managers, and I was actually kind of excited about it because my number five, I think, was going to like really piss people off.
So just say your number five. That's it.
Sonny. That was it. I mean, I could put... All I could think about all day was like 1 through 4 for me was really easy, but 5, like
she's serving 18? I think she's serving 18, right?
Yeah. It's obviously given the way things have gone later on in life, not great, but
hard times, man.
But if I looked at when her like prime run was 94 to 98,
mm-hmm.
I was 9 to 13 years old.
Yeah, man.
Sonny had a big impact on my life.
Yeah, man.
Most downloaded woman on AOL in 1996. Come on.
Really? Was she?
Yeah. In the world. Most downloaded woman on I was doing some research.
It wasn't Sable by then? No?
I don't know if
Sable may have been Sable. A year or two after. Maybe a year or two after.
Sonny, most downloaded woman on AOL in 1996.
On AOL.
Yeah. Had there a big impact on my life. Big impact on my... I actually think there's a chance... Like I don't know what age. Like, what age? I know when you're a kid, you like say girls are like, you say, oh, that girl's hot, this and that. But when you like really know that someone's like, oh, that's a smoke show. I think Sunny might be the first woman that I was ever like, oh, like that is like a hot woman. I was like 9 years old.
It's funny, man. Good job, Joey. Tell all your pals to talk to them over the weekend when we do the next episode.
Yeah, we'll talk to
unless something pops up and we do another exclusive.
Yeah, if it pops up, we'll and I know that Gio and Victor will be around, but yeah, appreciate you guys tuning in over the last few days. It was a big day, big weekend of news and pay-per-views. So it'll be nice to get to sleep at a normal time tonight. But I appreciate all you guys.
Good job, Joey. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Of course, we love pro wrestling. Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Hope everybody enjoys Raw tonight. Make sure you like, you rate, you comment. You do all that fun stuff. And we'll talk to you on the next episode of It's Still Real to Me. See ya.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.